Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Jim Berlin, CEO at Logistics Plus. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Let's jump right into it. For those that do not know a lot about you and Logistics Plus, let's begin by taking a look back. Can you share how it all got started nearly 25 years ago?
It got started because I was always a big mouth and had been fired from many truck driving jobs. One company finally kicked me upstairs into management, big mistake. And I did real well, but I also still had a big mouth, so I got fired at, I was like 44 years old, living in Jamestown, New York. And I had to figure out what to do. Two kids in high school ready to go to college. And GE, which was one of our customers for the trucking company, asked me if I would come over and talk to them about starting a project to manage their inbound transportation. And I said, sure. And they asked me, do you have a company? And I said, sure. And I stopped in Mayville and Chautauqua County on the way home. And by the time I got home, I had a company. So it wasn't a total lie. But then started the business with my office manager and my sales manager from the trucking company. So I knew what we had, and three good people that knew me and knew our style. And we did really well with our project, our one-year project at GE. And Jack Welch named us a corporate best practice. And then they gave us more to do, and we were named corporate best practice the following year, and it all took off from there. So when I say this thing has all been no plan because it's all planned, I believe that.
So because someone said you can help with a project, that's ultimately why you started the company.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's funny because you know, I said I'm 44. I got two kids in high school, ready to go to college. And what do? You know, and I like my job. I was too overzealous. So even for management. So I got fired too many times. But, you know, it's funny that my buddy that just died, he was my best friend. And he was the only one that what he told me was, I had the chance to get a job as another terminal manager for another trucking company or to start this my own company. And his sage advice was, what the hell do you know about starting a company and owning a business? And I've always said, do the opposite of whatever he says. So I said, okay, now I know what to do. And I said yes to GE, and the rest is kind of history.
What does putting the plus in logistics mean to you, Jim? And how does your company slogan, A Passion for Excellence, tie into that idea?
Well, that's always been my way, for good or for bad. It's kind of crazy, I get. But you know, it's passion's an important thing. Enthusiasm's a big deal. And I was overzealous my whole life. And in fact, that's why I kept getting fired, because I would argue, you know, probably to an extreme. But in the case of the job I lost in the trucking business, I argued because the shipment for GE was late. And I called some people out for, you know, for lollygagging and making it late. And they didn't like that, and they had more political power than I did, so I ended up getting fired, even though I was right. But even when I got fired then, I could look in the mirror and say, you know what, I was true to myself. I did the right thing for my customer. It was too much, okay, but I was trying to do the right thing. So that kind of passion has always been part of me. And the plus has always been the, you know, you do logistics, what is that? Well, you move things, you know. But moving things when they go well is easy, but when they don't go well, it's tricky and hard, and you got to work late hours and weekends to fix a lot of things. And I wanted people that cared about that, that would spend whatever it took to resolve the problems, came up rather than say, ah, it just, crap happened, you know, it's going to be late, I'm sorry. You know, maybe, and that might be the final answer, but there's a lot of things you can try to do in the interim to make that not the answer, you know, to find ways to get to yes. And, you know, we're basically a service business, so to me that's the difference, you know, and I think that has proven true over 25 years, and I think, honestly, it's coming out even more now during this COVID pandemic, because it's real easy to say no to customers now, and it takes a lot of extra effort to find ways to yes. But we haven't missed a day of work here. We've actually grown this year. And it's, I think, largely because we just find ways to yes and don't give up and don't, you know, get in the corner and hide and suck our thumb. We we find ways to get things moving, even if it's much tougher than it was a year ago. So that, you know, that's one thing that I did hit right from the beginning, just the passion for this stuff and then putting the plus in it, not just taking the easy way out, but go over and above. And sometimes even going over and above, the answer is still not a good answer, but it's a bad answer a lot less times than if you just let it go bad and not care. So I think that's important. And that's why when we hire people, I tell them that. This is a, you know, it's an industry that, you know, everything doesn't stop at 5 o'clock. The trucks keep rolling, the planes keep flying. And sometimes you got to stay late, and sometimes you got to get called from your kid's soccer game, from the dinner table. And I tell them, if you don't like that, I get it. But this is probably not the right industry and definitely not the right company to be in if that's how you want to live your life. And I said, they're not wrong. I mean, I get that. You got to be a little crazy to do the stuff we do. But to me, it pays off in the fact that, you know, during a pandemic, we grew, where a lot of companies like us didn't do so well.
You founded the company in 1996 with 3 employees. Today, you employ over 500. When people mention to you that you have become a great Erie employer, what does that mean to you?
It means a lot. It's cool in a lot of ways. I mean, it's never about the money. It's never about the being big and anything like that. But, you know, you look at this sort of as a family. You know, the people that work here, we bring them in and they become part of this crazy journey that we're all on. And what I like the most about it is, one, we've built something from nothing. So this didn't exist before. Now there's, even just in Erie alone, a couple hundred employees that work, provide for their families, pay taxes, go to restaurants. I mean, I love that. So we've created something from nothing. We've helped by buying the train station. We kind of started we were the pioneers that came down here first. And you can see the renovations. I was just at Nick Scott's new rooftop restaurant last night, and it's beautiful. Please try it out. It's a great place. But I think we were, you know, one of the forerunners of that, of seeing the possibilities of a downtown renaissance, and we've done that. But lastly, the thing is, you know, you got so many good educational institutions in here. You got a great high school education, get a great collegiate education, and then so many kids, what they call the brain drain. They had a leave Erie to go find a cool, well-paying job somewhere other than Erie. We enable those kids to stay home. So we've had a funnel from early days from all 4 universities that feed us kids that come in, usually as interns, and they try it out, and it's kind of an audition. You know, do they like it here? Do we like them? You get to sort that out over a couple-month period. But then people who came to us with no intention of staying in this business or, you know, working in this company, it gets into your blood, you know. It's something that's, you're not going to school for logistics, but there's something to this. Either you love it or you hate it. And I bet 50, 60 of those kids now end up, you know, work here. They raise their families here. So that's been a very cool thing to see, to enable these kids to stay home, work for a cool company that has, you know, world-class customers right out of Erie, Pennsylvania. I love that.
GE Transportation was your first client. Today, your customer base numbers in the thousands, with global revenues exceeding $300 million. When you hear figures like that, does it even seem real to you how large you've become?
No, I kind of laugh. I mean, I have our first P&L on the wall by my office, and it was less than $100,000 the first year of total revenue, and there's 3 people full-time on the payroll, so do easy math to know that we didn't make much money. But as I said, you know, it's never been, I don't know, I think money is a false god that people chase. And I heard a Joe Rogan podcast the other day, and they're talking to John Mackey, who's the head of Whole Foods. And they're talking about Jeff Bezos, that's worth $15 billion. And, you know, if you're worth that much, if money was the issue, you wouldn't be working anymore. Like, you know, and John Mackey's a wealthy guy too. I mean, it's not about money. It's more the fun of coming in every day and the challenge of, okay, what are we going to do today? What can we figure out? What can we solve? How can we grow? So I think that's the kind of culture. So as big, I mean, I knew someone who's a company like ours whose goal was to be a $1 billion company. And I think it'd be cool as hell for us to be a $1 billion company someday. But if you're a $1 billion company that wasn't fun to be at, and people didn't like each other and didn't enjoy coming to work every day and get along, that's not success. So to me, the success isn't the amount of the revenue. It's the spirit and the energy and the culture that you keep. And my goal is to be as big as we can be without losing that. So there's a caveat there. It's not just a number. It's not a number. It's the culture that people want to come to work and be part of this. That's my litmus test.
Logistics Plus is a global leader in your industry in several different aspects. This year, you saw a global need with the pandemic, and you branched into PPE. Can you tell us that story and how gratifying was that for you to help provide solutions in the midst of COVID-19?
Yeah, it was a cool story, actually. So when the S hit the fan in the spring, you know, the instinct is to pull in the reins and let's hunker down, let people go, you know, get down to just keep the heart beating, but nothing to it. And that was like, you know, there's a lot of smart people that would, you know, recommend that. But, you know, when the PPP came out to help, you know, help and there's some, okay, we can try this to be a little more aggressive and we have some backstop. That gave us some more courage to, okay, let's go out and see what we can do. And what we found is when people were ordering PPE, protective equipment, they couldn't get it delivered and they couldn't find any. So we knew the delivery side of it. We've been in China, for instance, for 24 years. So we knew people, we had contacts, and we were able to actually procure way before a lot of other people could, way before a lot of hospitals could, actually. We could find quality, certified manufacturers of masks and other things. And so we said, you know what, it's business, but two, it's a good thing to do to bring those into the U.S. and help get them to people. So we were at not only delivering them, but procuring them, laying out the money for them, and then finding ways to get them here. We talked to the CEO of Delta, and we chartered a Delta passenger plane that we put a whole bunch of pallets on of masks. And so we just were creative in finding ways to get the product in. And we actually delivered, I think, you know, millions of PPE across America, a lot in Erie, a lot in the U.S., and then even a lot to Europe. So, what it did, in a funny way, it wasn't part of any plan, but what it did is when the rest of our business was slow, because not much freight was moving, normal freight was moving, we had all our people, our HR people, our legal staff, you know, our IT people boxing face masks. I mean, like, you wouldn't think that's a thing that, for them to do, but, you know, it's work, and it's good, noble work, because you're providing PPE to people that need it, and it kept us, you know, thriving, kept us humming during a period that would have been a very down period. So, and it had an interesting unintended consequence, because we had a special project. We had to get a million face shields for the state of Pennsylvania. They came into Erie, and the boxes they were in were very big and unwieldy and falling apart and wet. And the Pima down in Harrisburg said, well, the product's fine, but the boxes look like crap. And I'm thinking, well, okay, well, You're not a store or warehouse, but okay, we'll deal with this. And so we had everyone come in, and in 1 week, this will be hard to imagine, but in 1 week, we reboxed 1 million face shields from boxes of 500 to boxes of 100 that were nicely taped and square and neat, and we sent them all down to Harrisburg. But what the unintended consequence was, people who kind of never mixed with the warehouse workers, the operations guys, the higher end, the white glove kind of folks, got to actually sit there side by side with me on the forklift and, you know, the vice president and the president, stuffing boxes of masks. And they got to say, okay, this is what Berlin means when he says we're all in this together. It's not, you know, like you might be a lawyer, but like right now you're packing boxes like the guy next to you. And that, I love that concept, because you all, I mean, we're all here to work, you know, whatever the job is, we all do it, you know, and I had several people come to me afterwards and say, you know, I get what you mean now, and I've seen a difference in their attitude and their energy and you know, work, they're a lot better now. So that, so I said, and that was not part of any, you know, smart plan. It just was just, you do the right thing. You get the job done, and everyone, you know, if there's a garbage to take out, I take it out, you know, like no one's better than anybody else. It's, we're all here to do a job, you know. And at that time, the job became, let's get some protective equipment to the frontline people. So that was good in a lot of ways.
You were selected by WeWork in 2016 to oversee its global supply chain, and this made you a major player in the furniture, fixtures, and equipment in the logistics industry. How significant was that selection for LP at the time, and what has it meant to you since 2016?
Well, it's funny. I always say that I got lucky, or people, you know, people also say I got lucky that my first customer was GE. And at the time, in 1996, GE was the largest, most profitable enterprise in the history of planet Earth. That's a true fact. And because they're so big, it gave us some stature, and because their people get recruited, when they go somewhere, they take us with them. So we were able to grow without any sales force from GE. And for the first, probably 10 years, me and only me could trace every customer we had somehow back to GE. So, you know, the thing was, it's a once-in-a-lifetime customer. But WeWork became our second once-in-a-lifetime customer, which, you know, for one lifetime, that's good to get two of those. So what it did to us, it brought us into a lot of new countries. It gave us new skills of the furniture installation that we hadn't had before, and the white glove things. And it also got us into many new doors. And the same with WeWork. So when they started to have their troubles, their people got recruited by other companies, and they take us with them. So, again, I can now trace probably 20 or 30 customers that, if not for WeWork, we wouldn't have. So, you know, it's, again, you know, it's kind of taking the opportunity and doing a good job and then following the threads that come presented to you.
What does this team you have in place today mean to you and your future growth?
It's unbelievable. You know, it's 25 years of doing this. We're into what I call the next generation of future LP leadership. And our original people are mostly all still here and still kind of guide the ship. But it'll be time to turn the hand the baton off. And I honestly have never been more kind of excited to see the kind of team that we have here, young, smart kids, way smarter than me, that are learning the business I know, the, you know, the moving freight side of it. But the smarts they bring and the energy, and I know people knock these millennials as lazy or, you know, like, entitled. We don't see that at all. These kids work hard, maybe because they see the old guys working hard, but they work hard, they stay late, and we've got a great mix of local Erie or area kids who get to stay home and have a great job, as well as some of these international kids that come from Eastern Europe or Asia, and you know, they're smart, and they're, you know, and just a great spirit. Like they don't feel entitled. They're happy to be in America, which I say, I don't get into politics. You know, I liked a lot of things about Trump. I didn't like the immigration thing. I think immigrants build this company, this country, and this company. They've been great at that. And so I love the fact that we can take these smart kids that come to, you know, Pennsylvania to get a good education, a great education, and then they don't have to go home. They can stay here, become Americans, help build up a great company. I love the mix. And you know, the kids get along well. They hang out. They go out after work. They have crazy parties at work sometimes. I mean, just it's a fun-loving group. And to me, if work is fun, you're not looking at your watch and, you know, when's it 5 o'clock? When can I get out of here? You're having fun. So you're not looking to go home right away. And if you have to stay late, you're staying late with a bunch of people you care about and you enjoy being with. So that's the cultural part of this. It's way more important, frankly, than even the financial side of it. I mean, we pay decent, but we're not, you know, Silicon Valley high thing. You can make a good living, and you enjoy what you do every day. It's not much like work, you know.
What are you most proud of over the past 24 years?
Just the building something from nothing. I like that. I mean, I think, you know, it's funny. I never knew my grandfather, but he was a business guy, an entrepreneur. I was a truck driver until I was in my 40s. But it was in there somewhere. And when I got, you know, kicked by life in the butt, and at 44 was out of work and needed to do something. This kind of opportunity came, and I think I've made the most out of it. So I feel good. You know, life took me here. There was no plan to get here, but when I got kicked in the butt, I kind of figured some things out.
You have received numerous Great Place to Work certifications. Many of these are a result of your own employees stating that this is an amazing place to work. What is it like to have that recognition from your own employees about how they feel about Logistics Plus?
Actually, I've said that's the most kind of rewarding to me, is that the folks that work here say it's a great place to work. And it's funny because a lot of things we do are very unorthodox. And I'm an old 60s guy, so I was one of those crazy radicals. But I think a lot of things that I learned back then and I believed in back then, I still do believe in. And I think we were kind of ahead of our time. now. I think back then we were. I think we were behind the times then, but too far ahead of our time back then. It's kind of caught up with us. But, you know, we try to keep things simple here. I mean, it's you treat people well. Like I say, there's not a lot of rules here. When I was in the trucking business, so 10 years I was a truck driver and a Teamster, actually a Teamster organizer, and 10 years I was management. So I was on 50-50 on both sides of that equation. And it was a, you know, 84-page contract. Every answer for every problem was in that book. And you could read the paragraph and the, you know, the section of it, and management read it different than labor. Same words, but you read it differently. And I always thought, this is silly. I mean, it's everything's a fight. You know, and it shouldn't be a fight. We're all trying to, should be pulling the same direction to make a good living for all of us, you know. And so I try to keep it real simple here. And, like, my one basic rule is the golden rule, treat others like you'd like to be treated. And to me, if you do that, if you show respect and compassion and understanding, and you don't embarrass people, you don't belittle people, and if you need to criticize someone, you do it from the heart in a constructive way. You don't do it in front of others. I mean, I think that goes a long way into creating a culture that, okay, I can speak my mind, I can do things and not be afraid of making a mistake. I don't get shot, I don't get embarrassed, I don't get belittled. So I think that's a big part of this. Just you know, treat people the right way. One of the other rules is, if it can be done and you can help do it, please don't ever say, that's not my job. And just like with the masks, I mean, and no one did. I mean, the lawyers didn't say that, the VP didn't say that, the president didn't say that. They all gladly went over it because this is our mission. We got to get these things out to the state of Pennsylvania's Pima. And so everyone did it, and that's the way it should be. I mean, that to me seems so natural, you know. But a lot of situations get set up in business where it's confrontational, and it's win-lose rather than win-win. I try to make things win-win. And even if things don't work out, you know, we haven't had 100% success, certainly hiring people. And when you have to let someone go, I mean, I usually tell people, my fault. I thought you'd fit into this culture well. You may have a lot to offer, but this is not the right fit for you. So somewhere else you'll be fine, but here, you know, I apologize. So you don't want to kind of, you know, beat people and berate people. I hated that on both sides of the, you know, the Teamster mentality at the trucking business. You know, I think it's the wrong way to be. I think you try to concoct win-win situations so everyone benefits.
Now that you've grown to the level that you have, is it more difficult to meet all client needs?
Not really, actually, because we've been able to attract more skills and talented people. So we actually can do more than we did before. It's always same attitude, but now if we take on a big project, we actually have the people that know how to do it instead of faking it till we learn how. But it's funny, like Tony Shea, who's the head of Zappos, just died. And I had met him years ago. He's a young guy, 46. And Zappos was a cool concept that, you know, got bought by, I think, Amazon eventually. But they sold shoes, and they sold shoes online. And one night he's playing poker with a bunch of his buddies at his apartment in Vegas, and they wanted to get a pizza. And they call around, and all the pizza shops, 2 o'clock in the morning, everything's closed. So he tells his buddy, he says, you know what, call Zappos and order a pizza. Zappos is a shoe company. Like, they can't get pizza. Just call them. And Zappos delivered a pizza for him. And I love that story, and I love the mentality. Like, okay, let's figure this out, something new. Let's figure it out. Let's do it. It'll make somebody happy. And that's a story that's getting told, you know, 20 years later, you know, 3,000 miles from where it happened.
When you think of the investments you've made in technology and the advancements you've made, is this now a differentiator that separates you from your competitors?
Yes, for sure. You know, my joke when I interview people, I say, you know, logistics is we move things. And my point is that everyone that moves things, whether they're FedEx or UPS or DHL or little old us, uses the same trucks, trains, planes, and ships. And until some young kid gets an app that moves a pallet from Chicago to Cincinnati through the air, it's going to be the same thing. And all of us have the same laws of physics, the same rules of the road, the same laws you have to deal with. So really the difference is how you kind of do the job. UPS trucks don't go 90 miles an hour versus our 60 miles an hour. So you can out hustle them. But the other thing is the IT side of this. So what I've learned is it was now you need to do more than just move the freight. If you do that, there's less and less returns on that. I mean, you don't make much. You might make $30 on a container. Yeah, we have a lot of containers to make a living doing that. But the IT side of this thing, the showing them information that you have, the business intelligence, that gets us in more doors now than the freight rates do. I mean, if you save $10 on a container, okay, that's good. If you do 1,000 containers a year, you save $100. I mean, that's not a lot of money, but the intelligence we can provide you through the data that is out there and our guys know how to collect and collate and present, you can save millions of dollars. You can get a lot smarter about your business. So that really has become a difference lately in how we get to approach much bigger companies, not with a moving stuff pitch only, because you have to do that too, but with the intelligence side of things. So I do think it's a big differentiator. We still have the mom and pop, we'll do anything, whatever, you know, we'll order the pizza for you. But also the BI tools that we have, it's a good combination.
I know that you've been using the term a 21st century logistics company in some of your most recent marketing materials. Is that a nod to your expanded technology and business intelligent capabilities?
It is. And to the recognition that saving $5 or $10 a shipment saves you something, but not a lot. And the big savings is when you have I always say transportation, you can see it from the perch we're on. We get to see everything that comes in your door and goes out your door and where the door goes into, the door it came from, that supply chain side of this thing. So you don't necessarily see all that. I mean, you don't get to see what happens to your vendors. You just get a delivery. But we get in their door, we see that. So we can correlate this vast data that kind of sees from the start of this thing, from the bubbling brook to the ocean, the whole way of that chain, how things move, and find ways to make you more efficient within that. So that really has become our much bigger sell lately. So to companies like Google and some of the others that we're working for, that's the thing that intrigued them, and that's what makes us heroes in their eyes.
Jim, what are you most proud of with Logistics Plus in 2020?
Well, easy, that we hung tough. It was really scary, and it's still scary. I mean, I don't want to act like we're – I mean, there's light at the end of the tunnel, but it's a ways off yet. But, the first days of this thing were who knows what's going to happen, and a lot of people were scared, and rightfully so. But we all kind of, okay, let's take this step by step and figure it out. And so, for the first few months or few weeks at least, some people were afraid to come to work. And we said, okay, work from home. We're still coming to work, and when you feel comfortable, you come back to work, because I think it's better together than from home. And within a few weeks' time, everyone came back, and we're lucky we're in the train station downtown. So I joke, I said we have a 100,000 square foot building and 100 people, so that's 1,000 square foot per person. We can keep you safe and away from others if you're so inclined. But our whole team kind of said, okay, let's be careful, let's be smart, and we got people here who make sure everyone's masked up and washing up and doing the smart things. But I think together is important, and we kind of got through this together. So I'm really proud of these guys for hanging tough and being strong and brave in the face of a very scary enemy.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Last question here. As you celebrate your 25th anniversary in 2021, what do you see for LP over the next 25 years?
I joke, I hope the next 25 years go slower than the first 25 is gone. But like I said before, I see great things. I see an unbelievably talented team that is now expanding into many other fields. We used to move, it used to be you move freight and it's either domestic or it's international. So you had basically two divisions. Well, we got probably 12 divisions now. We got 12 things we do now that we didn't do much before. So I love that. So you can bring people in that do more than just move trucks from here to there. They're thinking of a whole different level than I can even, think about. But it's something that customers find necessary, and I think we're just hitting our stride, frankly. I think we're still a young company that at 25 has really taken off.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.